you, Brother Ryan.
All right, I've got a homework assignment for you. Ben, are you ready? Thumbs up. All right, Ben is ready. Ben likes homework. All right, so this is for Brother Ben and everyone else. I'm going to start with a verse that has a question, but it's one that is asked repeatedly through God's Word, and specifically in the Psalms. It's a question that David asks time and time again. So the homework assignment, should you accept it, is get a concordance, kind of look through and find how many times and where you find this question or some form like this question. In Psalm 113, verse 5, it says, "Who is like unto the Lord our God?" That's a great question, right? You'll find that many times in the Psalms. I won't tell you how many. You'll tell me how many. But in each time that you find it, don't just find it and move on. You'll find it and read the context around it and contemplate that question. Who is, I've lost my place here. It's verse 5. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Right? Or who is like our God? And as you ask that question, ponder why the question would be asked and then think about the answer. And I'll go ahead and spoiler alert, there is no one like our God, right? Whenever this question is asked, David isn't asking, who else could I worship? Who else could I turn to? The question is a rhetorical one, and the answer is, there's no one like our God. So that's the answer to the question, but if the answer is so apparent, why ask the question? Why ask the question over and over? And that's the nature of a rhetorical question. It's to make us think about the circumstances of that question and the answer and how we know it. When we think about who is like our God and that there's no one like our God, the reason that there's no one like our God is because God is sovereign. He is overall. He's preeminent. There's no one is his equal. And when it comes to his actions and his attributes, he owns those. Right, so the love of God belongs to God, and people can't just have the love of God. God gives his love unto his people. And so God is supreme, and he is sovereign in his attributes and even how he gives them. So we can't be merciful unless the Lord is gracious to us to allow us to be merciful to others. We can't love except we love because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. We love one another because he first loved us. So who God is and how God is why there is no one like him. There is no person like him, and there is no capital G God beside him. And there's no little g God even like him, because the idols of men's hands can't hear, they can't speak, they can't move. But God has a power that's demonstrated in his sovereignty. And the proof of the utility of that question is, I think when we ask that question, it could be the launching point for a lot of sermons. Right? So this morning, I want to just ask that question, who is like unto the Lord our God? And particularly his characteristics that he demonstrates in a very special and important relationship that we have with God. And that is that God is our refuge. Okay. Now, in order for God to be our refuge, I think it'd be borne out in Scripture, there are two really important aspects of a refuge. And God is these things, God demonstrates these things, and there's nobody like him in this regard. So let's start in Psalm 46. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. What a beautiful psalm and song that could be upon our hearts for us to know God is our refuge. Now, I'd submit to you that, like the parable unto whom much is forgiven, he loveth much unto whom much is forgiven. To really appreciate God as your refuge, I would submit to you this morning, you have needed a refuge. And you found in him your refuge. If you never needed refuge, then there's no way I could make this as meaningful to you as it would be if you needed refuge. If you've never found refuge in the Lord, this will ring hollow. But we are a people who have needed refuge. Right? We live in a world that the Lord said, he made us even a promise, in this world there shall be tribulation and strife and toil. There are persecutors, not just the devil, the great persecutor, but many in this world that would persecute you, would seek to destroy you and discourage you. There are people at war with you. And what that means is, if you've come to appreciate that, and if you've ever felt like, I need a hiding place, I need deliverance. And you think about even some of the hymns that we sing, just while the storm passes over, right? Just a place, a cleft in the rock. Over and over, the Lord has manifest himself, demonstrated himself as a faithful refuge for us. But what would make a refuge faithful? And like we said, first, in order to even appreciate in this, we've needed a refuge and we found a refuge. But what would you say about that refuge that made it work? Right? And what if God weren't would make him a terrible refuge? And what that God is makes him such a great refuge to us? Well, in Psalm 46, from the beginning to the end, these are very much songs that are written, and much like a song that has a chorus. And, you know, you know that song about whatever, right? Because a song is about whatever, right? It has a beginning, a middle, and an end, but a song is about something. And this psalm is about God as our refuge. So let's just test and see, is David qualified to talk about God as his refuge? Okay. Did David ever need refuge? Quite a bit. Like, literally needed refuge. There were those that sought his life, and he took refuge in the Lord. So if that's the requirement, we can say, Brother David has needed refuge. Has he found refuge in the Lord? Most certainly. We know he has, because he's written this psalm. Right? The psalm's an expression of his experience, and also that God has revealed unto him. So if we have any interest in refuge, or if it has any meaning to us this morning, we have something in common with Brother David. So we ought to be able to sing the same psalm that David does in 46. And what's interesting, before we get to what I think are two fundamental aspects of God that are important to him as a refuge. If he is these two things, he's a good refuge. If he's not these two things, even if he's only one of these two things, Sister Erin, he won't be the refuge that we need. Okay. But before we get to that, there's something happening in Psalm 46. There's a contrast. And you know the way I think. I'm a column A, column B, comparison by contrast. Kind of that's what resonates with me. What we find here in Psalm 46 is there is a thought or a lesson about movement. Okay. There's some things that move around, and there's some things that don't move around. Okay. And what we find is, as we read this again, think about what you would put in the column of, well, those things kind of loosey-goosey, right? Like when you go around a curve and the tires get a little loose and you fishtail, there's some things that move, and then there's some things that are just stable and sure. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Okay? Now there's a song we have that goes, firm as thy earth, firm as the earth, thy promise stands. Well, I can tell you this, God's promise is even firmer than the earth. Because the earth, we have a promise, Brother Michael, the earth is going to be removed. Okay? And however sure and firm we think the earth is, there's times the earth isn't so sure. Right? If you live on the West Coast, sometimes the earth is removed. Sometimes the earth is moved in an earthquake. Sometimes it's removed in a sinkhole. Right? And things that we thought were sure aren't so sure. This is, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And again, if we think something's sure, like we would look to a mountain and say, a mountain is sure. Here it says, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. You think of water as being something sure and steadfast or kind of moving. Water is almost always moving. Matter of fact, when I go to the times that I've gone to the beach, it almost always strikes me to realize those waves that are crashing upon the shore have been crashing upon the shore for as long as there's been a shore, right? Like, it never stopped. The ocean never just stopped and got still. And water isn't sure and steadfast, and that's why when Peter was upon it and he looked around, he saw the wind and the wave boisterous. Okay? And even if it had been quite still and quite calm, it wouldn't have supported him to walk upon it unless God was there. Right? And God can walk upon still water, and God can walk upon raging waters. Okay? But water would be one of those things that we'd say, surely water, the way that we see it, is moving. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Now we can read over the word Selah, right? Like it's just kind of like a phrase break, a carriage return, kind of a paragraph symbol that we're going to start the next thought. But we need to stop and realize what the word Selah means, right? It means peace, right? Peace, be still. And what David is saying with each of these phrases is, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there's peace. Right? That's what the word though tells us, is there's a contrast between this that seems so very unpeaceful, there's some peace. And in this song, Brother David's going to say, oh, how there can be trouble, but oh, how there can be peace. And he keeps coming back to this peace, and the peace is in the Lord our refuge. Okay? But we have this theme developing of some things are moving around. And we don't necessarily like that these things are moving around. It doesn't bring comfort and consolation to us. We use this example before. You know, if you take a young baby, an infant, how they love to be swaddled and held tight, right? How nervous and perhaps even enraged you could make a young mother if you held her baby out there and its arms and legs were kind of flailing and it was troubled. Like, a mother doesn't like to see that, right? The baby feels unsure, right? But to be bound up, I remember when Zach was a little baby and we went to the little class about how you're supposed to take care of a baby, and they told you how to make this burrito with a big blanket, and you wrap them up, and it looked unkind. Like, why would you do that to your baby? But boy, and he had colic, and boy, did he love it, right? Like, it brought him consolation and comfort. And so we can see there's something about a lack of motion, about things being held close and firm, that can bring comfort to us. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Okay? This is really pretty easy to put them into the categories, isn't it? Right? There's some things that are moving, and then this doesn't even have to come up with some different word. It just says, there's some things that are not going to move. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. And, you know, what's interesting is we already heard about the wind and the wave raging, the water raging. Then we see that David's drawing a picture of just like the wind and the wave can rage and roar, the heathen raged. The kingdoms, with an S and a little K, the kingdoms of this world were moved. Right? So just like the water raged and just like there's things that are moving, the mountains are moving, the heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Okay? And again, if we're thinking about the earth being sure and steadfast, and all of a sudden it moves and it disappears and it melts, we realize some of the things we think are sure and steadfast, they actually fall into the moving category. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Peace, safety, rest, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still. Isn't that a great blessing to be still? Okay. We fight it. Okay, in our nature, we fight being still. Matter of fact, it's one of the hardest things I think some young people can do is for you to tell them to be still. Might be the worst part of timeout, right, is when you have to sit there and be still. And you know, as a child of God, sometimes it's very frustrating and hard and challenging to be still. When you know there's something to freak out about. Like, I'm freaking out and I have every reason to freak out. And the Lord says, be still. They say, but you don't understand. I've got to get onto this. I've got to fix this. I've got to work on this. And the Lord can say, be still. And what does the Lord usually say after be still? Know that I am God. Right? Be of good cheer. I am here. I am. Right? When the storm and its fury on Galilee fell, right, and the swell of the tide, the words came to the disciples. It is I. Right? Peace. Be still. So it's not as easy to be still as maybe we think. Now, maybe when you get older, being still sounds like pretty good opportunity. Right? We get to an age where we didn't like nap time when we were little. And now we're like, welcome nap time. Bring it on. Like, I need some still. Right? Which to me confirms some of this is by experience. By experience we learn there's a blessing in being still. Sometimes we want things to slow down. When I was a little kid, I never wanted anything to slow down. When there was nothing to do, Brother Dole, that's whenever there was trouble with me and Stephanie, right? When there was nothing to do. And we would always go to our mom and we would complain about there being nothing to do. And we had this book in the house called The Big Book of Acts and Skits. Right? And that was my mom's answer every time. Well, go get that book and put on a play. And that was just terrible, right? Childcraft Encyclopedia, the magazine, had all this stuff that bored kids could do. And I tell you, once you get that bored, there is no solution. Nothing in that book ever sounded good. Right? But now, if things could just stop, if you could just pause and be still, what a blessing that is. So I've learned I don't like the movement as much as I did. Right? Movement wears you out, makes you tired. Right? How nice it is to be still. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. So one of the things that I think is important about a refuge, remember, if we're putting things in the moving and the non-moving category, it is a blessing that the refuge doesn't move, right? Because a lot of times when we're seeking refuge, what we want is a calm and a still and something predictable, something that we can count on. And so we look at these things that are moving around, getting tossed to and fro. It's when we get tossed to and fro that we want to not get tossed and not be upset and undermined and overwhelmed. So how good would your refuge be if your refuge were being bounced around with all the bounce, right? I suppose if I were in the middle of the ocean without a boat, I would be wanting a boat, right? But I can tell you this, if I were in the middle of the ocean in a boat that were getting tossed to and fro, I wouldn't feel like that was much of a refuge. I'd want something better, okay? As a matter of fact, I've been in a boat in rough water, and I had to seek refuge in that boat. And I found it inside the boat. Everybody else was still fishing. And I was like laying, trying to be as still as I could. Wondering, is this better if my eyes are open or closed? Breathing really deep. Right? And it didn't bring much solace until we got to terra firma. Right? I wanted to be on the ground. Okay? So one aspect here that David brings out is there's some things that are moving and there's some things that don't move. Now, the refuge needs to not move. And our refuge, if our refuge is a he rather than an it, then it's important, Sister Lee, that our God doesn't move. Okay. Now, as important as it is that God doesn't move, I would submit to you, if and since God doesn't move, it's really important where he is. Because if he's not with you and he doesn't move, that's not very good news. Right? If he's somewhere else and he doesn't move, then we're going to have some trouble, Brother Michael. But if he's with us and he doesn't move. Remember what we said last week? I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not only will he not forsake us to answer and come to us, he'll never have to come to us because he'll never leave us. Okay. Now, when we look at God as our refuge, and I've read over it a couple times, so it's there. But I want to consider in Psalm 46, and we're going to read in two other Psalms, something that is in the very character and the very makeup of the attributes of our God that make him a not just an appropriate refuge, but a great refuge. And there is no refuge like our God. When you think about needing refuge, and remember, we said that was the qualification for this sermon to mean anything. So if you've never need refuge, you probably won't be able to answer this question. Okay. But I'm trying to ask this without giving the answer, and I can't quite do it. When you've needed refuge, okay, and that is just already messing me up. When you need refuge, when do you need it? Right? Okay. Have you ever said, you know, Lord, I'm in a terrible circumstance. Next Tuesday, I am going to need some refuge. Right? In 3 hours and 15 minutes, Lord, I'm going to need refuge. That's not our relationship with refuge, right? When you feel the need for refuge, when do you feel the need for it? Right then. Matter of fact, we could even use the word right early, right? There's an aspect of refuge that's very timely, okay? And when we need refuge, we need it. And the Lord, in order to be this great refuge, he must be on time. And God is on time. There is no God like our God. Who is like God when it comes to being on time? Because one of the interesting things about this is one of the reasons that time is not a problem for God is he's bigger than time. He's outside of time. He's not subject to time, which means he can be yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He changeth not. Okay. He delivered. He delivers and he doth yet deliver. He can promise he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He can use words like never and forever because he's bigger than time. And yet, this God who is timeless, who is not subject to time, Sister Linda, he really does work within time. Like he could just say, time's nothing to me. Right? But Brother Joel, he knows time is something to you. He knows when you need salvation, when you need deliverance. And he knows when you need it. And he's not like, well, that's irrelevant. I'm this timeless God. He knows, Sister Lee, when you were praying about that finger, right? God knew you needed that deliverance and that he needed that deliverance right then, right? The consolation and the comfort that you needed when you pray for something. The Lord understands that. Even though he's bigger than that, and even though he's not subject to that, Sister Marilyn, he knows that we are. He knows that we're subject to time. He knows that we wake up in the morning and we have a day and we go to bed. He knows what we stand in need of, and he knows when we stand in need of it. And so when we read through Psalm 46 again, we're going to see, surely, there's a timely aspect, there's a timeliness to refuge. If you need refuge, and the answer is, the refuge is closed right now. Right? That doesn't work, right? Refuge is 24/7. Okay? It's available unto us when we need it. The other thing that we're going to find in Psalm 46, and would bear out our experience with refuge, is, I'm going to use the word when again, but it'll be a little easier this time because I'm not talking about time. But when you've needed refuge, Sister Lee, where did you need it? Right? We need the refuge right where we are. Right? When we need that hiding place, there's a hiding place, but it's 3 miles from here, and you're going to be utterly exposed trying to get there. Right? There's a timeliness to our refuge. There's a placeliness. Okay? There's a location that matters with God as our refuge. He's not just time available to us. He is where we need Him, Sister Dawn. And what God is like that? Who is like unto our God? Who can be where we need Him? We say, well, I trust He can be where I need Him. He can be literally right where I am. But what happens if Sister Priscilla needs Him right where she is? And what if it's Thursday and Sister Priscilla and I aren't in the same place? Well, I guess, Sister Priscilla, God's going to have to choose, right? And He's going to be with you instead of with me, right? We see, if our God were a token or a trinket or a person or an establishment, right, then those little gods, you have to figure out where is that God going to be? But who is like our God? Nobody like our God, right? Because just like He's not subject to time, you know what else? He's not subject to place. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. Think about that. If you believe that, if you think He's everywhere present and nowhere absent, where can you be that He ain't? Where can you be when you need refuge and He's not there? Sister Erin, if we have the promise, I'll never leave you, then where is He? Sister Kim, He's with you. If He said He'll never leave you, like, children of God should be able to answer this question, and it's not always easy for us to answer, but if somebody says, where is your God? The answer is here. He's here. Because wherever I am, He's promised never to leave me nor forsake me. Now, He has more than one child. And so, how, Sister Dawn, can He manage all this? How can He be here and here and there? Well, I can tell you this. He's never there. He's always here. Right? Because with you, He's here. And with Steve, He's here. Even when you and Steve aren't together, the Lord can be in both places at the same time. So, is that important in a refuge? That the refuge is there? I'd say it's so important that it be there. It's very present. Right? And so we read through Psalm 46, we're going to find two beautiful phrases, right? Very present and right early. Okay? That means we've got a refuge that is physically present in location and timely present in time. So we take those two things, let's read through this again, then we'll look at some other psalms that bear out the same thing. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be ruined. See, because He's there in place and because He's there in time, it doesn't matter about the other things moving. Okay? And one of the things that's required if something's moving is time. Okay? If time stands still, nothing can move. Okay? If you see something moving, it means at one time, Brother Dole, it's in one place. And in another time, even if it's just a second later or a fraction of time later, it's in a different place. Okay? So if all these things are moving, then we're in time and time is moving. Time is marching on. But even though the elements are moving, even though the kingdoms are moving, even though the earth is moving, even though time is moving, we have a God who is a very present help in trouble. We will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And in these next couple of verses, if you're familiar with another psalm, Psalm 48, this one really seems like it's pointing us to that psalm. God is in the midst of her. Is that a time or a place? That's a place. He's in the midst of you. Okay? It doesn't just say He is like can be there in an instant. Right? He is there in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Do you know why we will not be moved? Because he's in the midst of us. God shall help her, and that right early. Right? He's in the right place, Brother Jimmy, and he's in the right time. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. That's a phrase we're going to see again before we get out of this chapter. With us. With us when? Always. With us where? Everywhere. With us encompasses both these things. He is with us in time, and he's with us in place. He is with us. And I would submit to you that that is the most important aspect of a refuge, is that the refuge is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It's almost like those are two synonyms, with us and refuge. God is with us and God is our refuge. God is our refuge and God is with us. Could you say he's our refuge, but he's without us? Or he's our refuge and we're without him? He's our refuge, but later? No, he's our refuge here and now. He's with us. And you know, there's something about the name Jesus, Emmanuel. You know what that word means? That name means God with us. Our refuge, Christ Jesus, God with us, our refuge. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. Maketh the wars to cease unto the end of the earth. Breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder, burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I want to turn and find just a couple of other psalms that bear out this time and place aspect of God as our refuge. Psalm 9 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. And then David talks about his enemies, and he is in a place and in a time with enemies. It says, when mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. That sounds like not moving around, right? Very sure and steadfast and predictable. In verse 6, it says, O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Could you say he'll be a refuge for the oppressed, but he won't necessarily be there in the times of trouble? Well, that's the time we need a refuge, right? Can't say God will be with you in the good times. That's how you know he's there. It's a good time, right? But if you're in trouble, you know, this is probably your fault, and that's why God's not with you. Well, see, that's what the devil would try to tell us. And that's what Job's miserable comforters told him. Like, you're in sad shape. You must have done something really bad. There's no hope for you. Well, that's what the devil would like to tell us. The devil would like to convince us that God is not in our place and that God is not in our time. And that we've separated himself, that we've separated him from us, or we've given him reason to separate himself from us. But this is a time, Sister Holly, to remind the devil of that truth that we know, right? I don't know what you're talking about, devil. I just know that God said he'll never leave me nor forsake me, right? And he didn't say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you while you're righteous, or if you're good, or if you deserve it, or if you've done more good than bad. Right. If you put that kind of condition on it, then God will never be with us because we would never be right. We would never deserve the presence of the Lord. God is one who is a refuge in place and in time, maintained by his promise. He will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Where is he dwelling? Dwelleth in Zion. Not just near Zion. Not adjacent to Zion. Not in a suburb of Zion. He dwelleth within Zion. And again, that's another pointer to Psalm 48, which is a beautiful psalm. I want to spend a little bit of time with this morning to demonstrate the things that we saw in Psalm 46 about things moving and things being sure, about God being our refuge and it being a refuge in time and place. So Psalm 48 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness." Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great, capital K, King. Right? Who is like unto our God? Nobody, right? He is the great and singular King. God is known in her palaces for what? For a refuge. And what about being a refuge is so important? He's known in her palaces. You know, you might think that as a child in Jerusalem, and you've got this palace, that there's safety and surety in the palace, but sometimes you might have to go outside the palace. And you know, if you're outside the palace, you're in the wrong neighborhood, and you might be kind of exposed and vulnerable. He is a refuge in the palace, right? Which means wherever it is that you stand in need of him, that's where he is. Even in the palace where you think there's all this surety and this safety, what we'll find is the reason why there's surety and safety in the palace is because the Lord is there. Not near, he's there. And what did I say before? He's never there, he's always here. So when we're in the palace, when we're in this beautiful city of God, that's a beautiful situation. That's how things are situated. God is within her. God is known in her palaces for refuge. For lo, the kings, the little K-I-N-G, they were assembled, they passed by together. See who's moving? See what's getting tossed about? They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled, and they hasted away. They were troubled just like that wind and wave. Right? They're moving away from the city of this solemnity for God's people. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. Who is it that could do that? Who is like our God? It's God who's done that. That's what we read in these other Psalms. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. And then here's an interesting word. Selah, right? That same peace that comes from knowing that God is your refuge. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. That means we were in the midst of the temple thinking about it. But Sister Dawn, you know what else was in the midst of the temple? God's loving kindness. Right? He's in the midst of her. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion. Go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. And we talked about this before. To tell the towers of. This isn't speaking of telling it to the generations following. Because that's what's going to come next. Right? Before you can tell it or speak it or relay it to someone else, you've got to mark it. Okay? You've got to know that it's there. And this telling, this first telling, is like a bank teller, right? That tells the money, that counts the money. And when it says, tell the towers thereof, okay? It's not because the towers are moving, right? You move to where the towers are and you mark them. Okay? And you say, there's a tower right there. There's a bulwark right there. And you know where the towers are and where the bulwarks are? Right there in the palace. Right there in the midst of her. It says, walk about Zion, go round about her, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks. Okay, so that's the telling, is marking the bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation upon. Now, this is a different telling. This is, like we said before, one generation telleth it to another. And that we were one generation, there was a generation before us, there's a generation after us, and it's our responsibility as either one of those generations, and both those generations, to say, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. For our God is our God forever and ever. Is that time or place? That's time, and that's greater than time. Okay? It's forever, which is here, and ever, which is after this forever. He will be our guide even unto death. So we see in just a small collection of Psalms, right? There's many places where it says, who is like our God? Okay? Many more places where it talks about God as our refuge. Okay? But in Psalm 46, in Psalm 9, and Psalm 48, what David establishes based on his experience about a faithful God is, he is my refuge. He doesn't move. He's sure and steadfast. And when I need him, he's there. And where I need him, he's here. He's a then and... Well, let me put it this way. He's not a then and there God. He's a here and now God. But he's also a then and there God, because sometime we're not going to be here and now, we're going to be there and then. And whenever we're there and then, God will be there and then, because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. What great assurance we should draw as his people, right? And remember how Psalm 48 starts, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. One of the ways that we can praise him, sister, is to say, he is our refuge. I know it by experience. There have been times that I've needed the refuge and I've found it. I didn't have to wait and I didn't have to travel, because he's here and now. And the reason why he's here and now is because no God is like our God. Right? He's greater than time, greater than place. And even though he's greater than time and place, he will dispatch himself. He will make his presence felt when and where we need him the most. Let us praise him as our refuge. God bless you.